Speaking of odd, did you see the BotCon last figure?
Yep. I mean, I was on that while it was happening, getting screenshots and stuff, because...
That's interesting.
That's certainly a thing that's happening somehow. The thing that gives me pause is that's a resin hard copy they're showing in the video. They don't have a production sample they're happy with, which just leaves me wondering, you know, the way things turn out at BotCon about half the time.
I mean, it's like it's a neat concept. If it turns out well, then you have more power to them.
I like the way I've summed up my feelings on this so far is that I find the ambition really interesting.
And actually, that does kind of make the whole Easter egg thing actually sort of clever.
Except it becomes such like a heavy-handed.
Yeah, it did. It did. But here's the thing. I didn't watch any of the videos until the last one anyway, so I
Oh,
didn't
there's
get.
Mickey. Let's find out what he has to say.
But I mean, it's more than that I'm used to. Let me put it like that. It's heavy-handed as hell, though.
Okay, so Mickey,
I think that's
we were just talking before you got here. Did you happen to see any BotCon news today?
Yeah.
So, what do you think of that?
It would be. It's good.
But
I sense a provision in that.
we'll just see what happens. That's
right.
basically what we've just been saying. Like, I admire the ambition of
It's
doing this.
very ambitious for FunPub. It seems like they can't get a head sculpt right on about 25% of their toys.
Yeah. That's what we were thinking.
I'm a little concerned there.
My
just
much
a
less something
little.
that has to open up on top of that. It's
Okay,
not
so, what is everyone's bet on what the flaw is going to be? I'll go first.
Okay.
I bet that Swerve does not fit into the Pretender shell.
Oh God.
That sounds like the kind of mistake they would make.
Because the resin hard copy is the fixed size because it's a resin hard copy, but the plastic will cure too small.
Yep. It will be about 5% too small to fit the toy inside.
And actually, Alonso, if you look at the picture of it right here,
Yeah, it has to be mistransformed to fit in there in the first place.
Swerve fits in there very, very, very snugly. Very snugly.
Very snugly with the hood folded back like it's in robot mode. So, like, it can't even fit in there properly in vehicle mode as it is.
I mean, I would love to see it turn out well, but
Oh, of course, of course.
even considering that, I will never give FunPub another cent of my money. But,
Well, it's not like I'm signing up for a Primus package. I mean,
no, or I'm not.
Gilly can't wait to give them a $300 bonus.
Even if I had interest in going to BotCon, I wouldn't because they have, this place, out way beyond where it should be. It's nowhere near the airport, and getting through Chicago.
You
Well, I
can just
mean,
walk.
you can get there if you drive. You can get there without going into Chicago.
If you drive.
Right. If you drive.
But more than most people are going to be flying.
Right.
Right. It's not like say when it's in Pasadena. Yeah, that's long ways from LAX, but they have shuttles going back and forth between there nonstop all day.
The brochure is supposed to go up this week. Maybe they'll have details in there of, like, a transport method.
A transport.
I doubt it.
And again, if it, and that's what I'm saying.
They'll,
Like,
they'll
but
in the brochure, in the
Pasadena,
brochure
you
they'll
don't
have.
even think
No,
you need
listen,
to know.
listen. I got this figured out. In the brochure, they're going to have a promo code printed for Uber.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But no, it's like with something like Pasadena, there's not even any question. It's a long ways from LAX, but you can get back and forth easily. I know because I've gone there. I attended BotCon 2011.
I know, I tried to get you to pick me up something and you never answered your text messages.
I missed that because my phone kept going out all weekend.
No, but like, having lived in the Chicago suburbs, it's a bitch and a half to get from the suburbs into Chicago and back.
Right.
I know this personally.
Mm-hmm. And this is what
as a as a passenger, but I mean, it was enough to get the message across.
I mean, this is what I've heard.
I wasn't driving around the Chicago suburbs when I was 10.
Compared to where TFCon was last year.
Wasn't that like around Rosemont or something?
It was really close to the airport.
Yeah, it was in Chicago.
Yes.
I just think we should be really thankful that Chicago's been rebuilt since, you know, Sentinel Prime destroyed it.
And then since lockdown destroyed it again.
Yeah.
No, have you ever been through O'Hare?
No.
Okay, so here's the thing about O'Hare.
I was back in 2004.
Here's the thing about O'Hare. Like, you can't be in Chicago without being near O'Hare because O'Hare is massive.
Right, right.
So,
yeah. And, you know, it is kind of a thing. It's like, Chicago as itself, if you want to, you know, tie in the movies, is actually, you know, relevant.
But it's not a movie year.
I know, even if it's not a movie year, it's just kind of, you know, relevant to fiction and whatnot, but then you're just going to not actually be in Chicago.
But yeah, if they wanted to tie it into, you know, the 86 movie, they could just have it here. Lookout Mountain.
Yes.
The thing, too, is that, like, I'm curious, you know, they have their, like, Wednesday tour package thing that you can sign up for at pre-registration, but that assumes that you're in, like, a city with things to go see. Right? When you're out in the suburbs, literally over an hour's cab ride away from Chicago, and probably longer by bus, because a bus can't drive as fast as a taxi, you know, when you're that far from Chicago, what are you doing for your tour thing? The hotel is on a golf course resort thing. So I'm kind of wondering if the tour is going to be replaced by, go play a round of golf.
I want to tour through all the places in the Perfect Strangers opening.
That would be awesome. Weird, but awesome.
I want to reenact them.
Rise and fall on the wings of my dreams.
It's my life. It's my dream.
Nothing is going to stop me now.
Not you, not Fun Pub, not anyone.
Toriga! Maximum Drive! This is Superhero Time. With XV.
Hi!
Hey, Mickey.
4231.
Paladin.
Well, by the math, it would have to be, wouldn't it?
Ken.
Say hobo. Oh. No mo.
And Fort Max.
Doctor, Grandpa. He's a doctor, you know.
Perfect timing, so it's superhero time. You know, just as we were ending last week, some news came out, and then it got blown away by other news. Well, not blown away, but it kind of got, you know, sidelined a little bit.
What was the news again?
So, you know how there's the renewal Kuga that just came out?
Oh, yeah, that.
Apparently, that wasn't a Kuga release. That was a Decade release, because then some other things happened.
Yeah.
Yes, Calder? We're actually getting a Figuarts Kamen Rider Kivala.
Yeah.
At retail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why pay retail? We can get one used off Mandarake.
God, no.
Forget used on
just
Mandarake.
Just answered your own question there.
Forget used on Mandarake. Just get one for like a quarter price on CD Japan a month after it comes out and nobody wants it because it's Kivara.
Basically, yeah. Still, it's interesting that they're doing that, but there's something else with that too.
Her fantastic looking ass.
That, but yes. But,
is it really renewal that fantastic decade? Looking?
Yes, the next renewal figure art is Decade.
Okay.
Was there anything particularly wrong with the original Decade? Like, I know the first
head.
The belt couldn't come off.
That. The what couldn't come off?
You couldn't take the belt off.
His head was
and give it to other riders.
His head was messed up enough that they Movie Wars 2010 release.
Yeah, Violent Emotion.
Yeah, but then he doesn't have all the cards and stuff, so he's kind of incomplete. So. Yeah, I could see them doing a renewal Decade with a better body.
The old figure arts of Decade were about 80% there on both accounts.
Mostly, yeah. That's basically it.
No, and like, you know, it's several years old at this point, which is really weird to think about.
Yeah.
And
it's,
you know,
like
it's six years old. You know, Figure Arts has undergone some changes in that time. It's not unreasonable to think that it would get a renewal, you know, sooner or later. It was more like, you know, Kabuto has specific known problems design-wise, especially with the first-run figure. You know, I mean, it's
that kind of thing. And also, you know, time of decade, they were still kind of using the same basic process for all the Rider Figure Arts. They also kind of fell in line with each other. I don't think it was really until... It wasn't really until Forza that they started really kind of changing it up, I think.
So the Figure Guard renewals have gone Kabuto, Kuga, Agito, and next is Decade. That's the same order they were released in when the line started,
and
right?
And Black and Black Horax.
Yeah, so basically we're due for a renewal double soon.
If the pattern holds, that's the next renewal.
I would not be opposed, although I have enough doubles as it is.
You mean you have a lot of multiples?
Yeah.
That's very unsafe behavior.
Shit! God dang it! Just walked right into that one.
It's also very unsafe behavior.
It is. But yeah, they show specifically... they do highlight the belt. Did they show that it can be removed?
We only have like one or two images right now, so we don't know.
That probably can.
I mean, most figure arts that have belts, now the belt is a separate piece, so it stands to reason somewhat.
I bet to the next renewal is going to be Wizard.
Oh,
if they actually did a renewal of O's, people would welcome that.
That's why
O's. I think O's more than double.
But double figure art sucks.
Double figure art is not like great, but the O's figure art kind of has like problems.
The O's figure art is probably one of the Rider figure arts. It is the worst ones that I have owned.
Double figure art
had really terrible quality control too. Really bad.
The double figure art strikes me as being like the GoBusters figure arts of Rider, where there's nothing specifically bad about it. It's not as good as all the other ones are.
Right.
But it doesn't have like endemic problems.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I own enough of the mold between double is form changes, skull. But it could be improved. Definitely.
Especially more articulation to it and some balance. Yeah.
The legs could be, you know.
Feet. Foot thing he's got going on.
If they can fix the feet, especially, so that way he can stand on his own without, you know, tipping over God.
Yeah, no, like, double, of course, by all means, should get a renewal, but it is not the one that needs it the most first.
Right.
But it's the one and that I need most first.
Yeah. And we also got an amazing video for
Complete selection modification
DN driver.
Thank you. It's amazing up until the point when you notice how horribly shoddily the sound effects are edited in.
Oh no.
Where they just like mute the original audio and paste the sound effects over it very obviously. It's very, very
shady.
It is very, very 70s audio editing.
Well,
like, I can do better than that, and I'm not even a professional. I can reconstruct sentences out of isolated sound clips.
Hello, Smithers. You're quite good at turning me on.
Intro quote.
Probably should ignore that.
I can always count Paladin to follow up a Simpsons quote.
I was about to say, why is your name Smithers?
So, back on Figure Arts for a second, it looks like the Indagaro might be happening sooner rather than later.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
At least if that teaser's anything to go by. We don't have a price or anything solid yet, but it might be coming.
But figure arts, not Makaya Kato.
Right.
Excellent. I really do still like the Garo figure art. So, I want more of those, please.
The thing is, maybe this is just me being stupid. I'd really have a figure art of Ryoga than Garo.
Yeah, I know. We've had that conversation before, but...
Have we?
I understand that. Yeah, we have.
Oh,
but right. We probably did, you know, 2 years ago when...
As far as Toku goes, though, that'll just unfortunately never happen.
So, yeah, because where's my figure arts Ryoma? With optional cyborg mask.
Yes.
And removable brain.
Yes. Well, you might need an optional head for that, but yes.
Well, no, okay, so, like, there would be an option head that has the dots drawn across the forehead.
Another one with his skull chopped off.
That'd be the pre-order bonus.
Ah, the brain or the dot head?
The dot head.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's very specific, so.
Actually, it'd be the dot head and also a jar with a brain in it.
Oh, okay. Basically, though, you know, figure arc Ryoma's brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's the most super articulated brain on the market.
There's a few characters who I would just like, you know, non-transform figure arts, but sadly, it's just unlikely.
Yeah.
Figure arts Shotaro would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, alas.
Never gonna happen.
Nope.
Figure arts Philip. You could have him doing the Heaven's Tornado.
That's what the kids are calling it.
And then Figure Arts Philip and Figure Arts Shotaro would have option heads with the mask from Futic Idol.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Because, yes. You know, the two of them together are one common singer. Such a good show.
I wish we had it on Blu-ray to watch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mickey, you have a Blu-ray player. And Japanese Blu-rays will play in U.S. Blu-ray players.
Oh, God.
So all you really need to do is come up with some money and...
Yeah, I'm a little tight on money right now.
I understand. I'm just saying, like, their Blu-rays do exist, and you have the capacity to play them if you own them.
Oh, I don't have the capacity to understand them, though.
Well, but, I mean, you've watched the show before. Just remember the dialogue.
David hasn't.
Well, that... Then you just, you know, explain it as it goes along.
Right.
I'll be the live high-speed dubbing gadget.
Yes, exactly. See, now you get it.
Yeah. I sense absolute silence. Paladin, what's next?
I'm looking. Let's see. Next month, a special DVD-exclusive episode of Ninja titled Ninja vs. Cowboy.
That sounds like the super video.
Yes,
probably, yes.
You know what had the best super video?
Tokuger?
Okay, yes. Second best super video.
Go Busters?
Yes. Thank you, Fort Max.
Which one was that?
Go Busters?
Enter Buster.
Enter Beat Buster?
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Long Coat Beat Buster? With goggles?
Enter Storm.
I don't remember it.
Jay on the throne surrounded
let's
by
see.
Women.
Jay got infected with the virus, and inside his mind, he's sitting on Jay's mind is pretty... It's just Jay sitting on a throne with a crown.
I've either completely forgotten this or didn't watch it.
Gavin, it stood up for like 5 seconds.
I can't imagine you wouldn't have watched it because it was Go Busters.
Can we still find this somewhere?
Yeah.
Overtime?
Did it?
No, I think Go Busters is not up on Overtime anymore.
Is it Fort Max? Do you know anything about this?
Or maybe the HD
there
is
a process of moving stuff from one seed box to another.
Well, it's all on KRDL.info anyway, so.
Is that still around?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, it's just like every time I go there and the site comes up, I'm surprised.
Huh. It's been pretty consistent for me because that's where I've been downloading Go Busters to rewatch it.
Let's just say that they have a tendency to be kind of doom and gloom about, like, the financials of running the site.
Yeah, I know they're always whining about it, but if they go away, then I will.
Pretty much. Well, that's why I say, like, every time I go and it's up, I'm surprised. I never said, you know, if it was gone, I'd be particularly disappointed. KRDL people, if you're listening, no offense. We're happy with the service you provide, but, you know. We're us, I mean.
We're not paid to be hateful. We just do it anyway.
It's out of a love for the art.
Sure.
Right.
And hate for our fellow man.
Yes.
Because everyone is horseshit, including us.
Yeah.
Especially us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's basically been the minutes of my day. How about you guys?
We stand at the top of being horseshit.
So we were talking about Blu-rays, I think.
No, we were talking about the super video thing.
No, that couldn't possibly be, because that means we were talking about a Ninja thing.
Well, this monster design reminds me of the Doom Train from Final Fantasy, what, 6?
Isn't that just a modified,
I don't care what it is. I was going to say Sable type of suplex it.
Yeah.
That suit needs to be suplexed.
Oh, okay, get on that.
And speaking of horse shit, there's some video reviews online for Bison King. And King Shuriken looks like a serious clusterfuck.
Don't you mean bullshit?
It has multiple flavors.
Didn't he lead off with bullshit? What, speaking of bullshit?
I think he said
horseshit.
He said horseshit.
Oh.
So you may, I mean.
Well, one shit's as good as another, right?
I guess.
Yeah, the combined form almost works.
Okay, like.
Except for, like, Heartbreak completely goes apart into madness. Namely the head.
The combined form, I can't really tell what's going on, is the problem.
Honestly, that madness amuses me, but then my opinions on Ninja are not popular here. I just think it looks hilarious.
I mean, I'm all about a ridiculous, dumb-looking Zord. I mean, I own most of the Tokuger mix.
Yeah.
But this is kind of dumb-looking in the wrong ways, I think.
I can't tell what's
going on. I can understand that.
Most notably, the Blue Rider guy's legs are hanging off a toboggan on the back of it. And this forward-facing radar antenna with bull horns coming off the head.
Yeah.
And that's the laziest inclusion
like a
of
air controller,
leg
he?
Boots into skis I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, in some ways it looks like they applied Tokuger design philosophies to this. But since it's not trains, it works even worse. There is a little bit of train in there, but since it's not primarily trains, it doesn't really work that well. Although, this still is probably better than the major upgrade form, where Shuriken just sits in something else. That's Dinomaru, right, that does that?
No, Dino's just an orange add-on. The thing that becomes another throne is the Lion Zord.
Ah. Oh,
this
you know
a
what?
Disappointment.
You know what? I'm looking at the scan, and I just realized what happened with this. See, it's 420 millimeters tall. Everybody was on weed when they designed this.
See, that just makes me like it even more.
Somehow I'm not surprised, Ken. You seem like the type.
No. If Ken were the type, he'd be a lot more mellow and less high-strung.
This is true.
Well, I mean,
I would have had a lot of fun last week. But,
yeah, but he has to go to work tomorrow, so, you know, he can't be right now. What if they, like, random drug test him?
Yes, random.
Yeah.
You couldn't see it, but I was doing air quotes there.
We heard. You should do something about your knuckles. They make a lot of noise.
I was trying to say it again.
It's 'cause I'm old.
Ken, does your workplace have, like, you know, a checklist of your prescription medications just in case they do a drug test and something comes up positive?
I've actually had to go through this before, so yes, they do.
So they've got on record for your estrogen.
Yes, absolutely.
So speaking of estrogen, Paladin, what's next?
Apparently, Dino Charge or Supercharge is close to finished filming.
So that, Supercharged at this point, I think.
Yeah, they were doing.
And it's barely begun airing.
But I mean, that sounds like the right timeline, though.
Right. Then the actors spend the next 2 years promoting it, basically.
Sort of.
Well, I mean, that's what they've done with the past.
And that gets them on 2 years to start planning on how to translate Ninja.
They'll need it.
Because they sure as hell aren't touching Tokuger. If they do, I will be shocked.
I'll be pissed.
Because you bought all the trains?
Yes.
And you don't have to buy them again.
Because they'll be Zord Builder trains then. And,
oh,
you know.
Fudge.
But I want my U.S. Orange Ranger.
Not going to happen next week.
Hey, like, you had a U.S. Orange Ranger. His name was Boom.
He didn't get a toy.
Well, maybe like, in the Legacy line.
I can't get a Tokyo 6 Figuart. I'm not going to get a U.S. Orange Train Ranger toy. You know, it's just...
Well, I'm losing everywhere.
They are specifically out to get you.
Apparently. Why couldn't Star Ninja have been orange?
Why couldn't he have been brown? Brown is a good cowboy color.
Yeah, leather.
Tan, even.
Suede.
Could have been cow patterned.
Okay, but black and white or brown and white. I mean, there's different kinds of cow splotches.
I'm going to go with brown and white.
Yeah, I mean,
black and white is too Dalmatian-y.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Dalmatians don't really have the big cow splotches, but I see where you're coming from. I mean, if he was black and white like a cow, you'd probably think he was a carton of milk. And you don't really have that problem with, like, you don't make the same association with brown cows.
How now, brown cow?
Those just look like jackets and hamburgers. Mm. Which, for Star Ninja, is completely appropriate on both counts.
But if they're brown cows, wouldn't those be chocolate and vanilla ice cream?
Oh, that sounds good.
Ice cream.
Hamburgers or ice cream. Maybe hamburgers and ice cream.
You mean or?
Yes.
Yeah, hamburgers and hamburgers and then ice cream.
Welcome back to Food Time. Super Time.
You know, it's funny, too, because, like, every week lately after RFC ends, you know, we hang around on Skype for a little while so Kilby can get the blackmail material. I mean, RFC Extra. And, like, every time it just turns into talking about eating stuff.
That's been the past couple weeks here.
I know what our spinoff podcast needs to be.
What?
It needs to be the counterpoint to Get the Skinny called Let's Get Fucking Fat.
After the last couple weeks, I mean, last week it was donuts.
Still, I believe we did.
You know, that would be a great vehicle to reintroduce.
I believe
the Giga Beagle
donuts
challenge.
Thing did work on a few people.
Did it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so happy.
I'll have you know, I still have not had any damn donuts.
Neither have I. I just haven't had any.
Same.
Oh.
My job is in the complete opposite direction of the Krispy Kremes in my area.
But can you work in a grocery store? And at least around here, most grocery stores have a little Krispy Kreme kiosk, and most days, the donuts are fresh enough to be worth buying.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same.
It's not the same?
It's not
but,
the same.
But... It's not, but if you really need a donut, there is donuts in your place of work.
There is, but it's not the same.
But, I mean, you don't really want to get those, like, chocolate ice cream-filled ones when they're hot.
No, but I don't want those.
Why not? Those are the best ones. Don't tell me you just want the glazed donuts.
Maybe.
He just wants the glazed donuts.
But if they're hot, and fresh, it's completely different than if, you know, they've been sitting there for days.
Oh, you're the worst.
And they only change them out every 3 days or so.
Ken's the new wizard, by the way.
Doesn't matter. They're donuts.
They are donuts.
Yeah, there is
good
that.
Anyway, but the cream-filled, that's really where, you know, you
I
get
actually
the most...
I don't really like cream-filled donuts.
You're a bland man, Ken.
I like all kinds of other donuts, just I don't like cream-filled ones.
Bland.
I can agree with this sentiment.
You're like the plain yogurt of people.
Which one?
Ken.
Oh, because I think Paladin was agreeing too.
Oh, well, Paladin too.
Paladin's like the spoiled yogurt of people. That's why he's so sour. spoiled yogurt does get more sour, right?
Is it Giga?
What?
Let's have Giga Beetle test it for us.
It's a good idea. Like, isn't yogurt already spoiled? Isn't this kind of its deal?
Like, I'm not a yogurt eater, so I don't know how yogurt behaves when it's, you know, past its prime.
I unfortunately eat a lot of yogurt, and I'm terrified of it going bad, so if I don't eat it within a day of buying it, I kind of throw it away.
Oh, God.
I think you might be overcorrecting. I'm pretty sure...
Better overcorrect than to undercorrect.
I'm pretty sure yogurt is refrigerator stable for weeks.
Yeah.
Now, yogurt's like driving in eyeglasses. You want to overcorrect whenever possible.
Well, it's like, how long do you think it's been sitting in coolers on the way to the store? Or
that's why they have date stamps.
Seconds before I round the corner of the aisle?
Sure! Absolutely.
So, okay, so let's see. Who should we defer to on this? The person who works in a grocery store and has done for probably most of his adult life, or, you know, the guy who works...
The person who sees how fast things spoil.
You know, if things spoil that fast in your house, you might think about turning up your fridge.
I wasn't talking about in my house.
Oh. You might think about turning up the bigger fridge at work. I've never really liked yogurt. I think because when I was given yogurt as a kid, I was expected it to taste like pudding, and it never did. And it kind of made a negative association.
The thing is, when you're a kid and you taste something and it doesn't taste how you thought it was going to taste, so now it tastes horrible forever?
Yeah, like the first time I tried carrots that I remember, and I expected them to taste like Cheetos, and they didn't. It didn't go so well.
It's like, oh, they're orange! That's
right.
Exactly,
I mean, that basically was the logic in, you know, 4-year-old XB's head.
Holy Christ.
And so about your life's mission to make carrots all crunchy and cook them in cheese powder.
I made it my life's mission to genetically...
Less extreme examples than that, and then just, wow.
I made it my mission in life to genetically engineer a carrot that tastes like Cheetos. It would be the most popular carrot ever. How would you make a carrot taste like Cheetos anyway?
Cover it in cheese powder.
Where it does it by itself. Like, has anybody sequenced the genome of a Cheeto?
Not to my knowledge.
Damn. That seems like a necessary first step.
We did it, you know, once we extract the DNA from the Cheeto, we'll have to splice it with the DNA from a frog to fill in the missing holes.
Oh. We better make sure that they're all only female, though, so they don't, like, just, you know, breed randomly.
Keep
the population under control.
But then we can find out if Cheetos really do move in herds.
The other thing, too, I'm wondering is, you know, like, there's the baked Cheetos and the fried Cheetos. Do they have, like, distinct DNA from each other, or...
Either way, is this going to kill Sam Jackson?
Well, yes. What doesn't?
Nature will find a way.
Superhero time. We can't even talk about food, right? No, but the point is, I never liked yogurt. There was always, like, even setting aside the whole expected it to be pudding thing, there's something kind of off-putting about what is essentially sour cream with a fruit flavor. But maybe that's just me.
How the hell do we get on the topic?
I
can't backtrack far enough to figure out how we tangented off into this.
Okay, so, how can a plain yogurt man, which stemmed from him wanting glazed donuts instead of more interesting donuts...
Which stemmed from wanting hamburgers and ice cream from Star Ninja.
Because Star Ninja is an orange... Because they're skipping Tokuger, and because they just finished shooting for Dino Supercharge. And that's how we got to yogurt is pudding.
And the power chamber's in the basement.
That's impressive even for us.
That's kind of amazing, actually. There was this giant hole, and it kept circling around it, and going further and further and further and further and further down, and it turns out there was actually no bottom.
Your mom?
If you keep going, it will just continue.
She's got plenty of bottom.
Paladin.
Is there any more news?
What?
What he said.
The only other thing worth mentioning this week is the first image of SIC Kikider. And I know I'm stretching that definition, so shut up.
I was going to say, is this something we should actually care about?
It looks like the revival one, so not really.
I see Kikider 01.
It's been nice sculpt for something I don't give a shit about.
Yeah. I mean, the red side's a little muscly style for my taste. Like, I never really got that impression from the original design.
I kind of dig the contrast on the blue side, though. But, you know, that's what SIC is for, extreming shit out.
Oh, sure.
Okay. But, I mean, like, there's usually some
really,
kind of...
Really, he looks just like he did in the reboot, so he doesn't really look that much different.
Well, it's certainly more stylized than reboot.
A little bit. Less than SIC normally is, let's put it like that.
I mean, this is kind of... Well, think SIC double.
I don't think it's even as extreme as double, honestly.
That's because double is extreme.
Well, they did do...
You walked right into that one, too,
yeah.
Ken.
Yeah.
Shut up. That's a good old-fashioned extreme.
How about a surge?
He used to be so fun.
Fort Max?
Surge!
Thank you.
But he won't do the other one.
Surge, well, we know what his intro quote's going to be this week.
I can chorus it with the old surge, too.
A harmony of surge.
Mickey, did you say you found surge in a gas station there?
I did.
Is it still around?
Probably haven't been in the gas station since, but I don't see why it wouldn't be.
What was the date on it?
No, it's the new run surge, though, isn't it?
Yeah, in the tall cans.
Oh.
Which I thought was only available on Amazon. As far as I know, I guess there's... buying it off Amazon and selling it in store or something. And listen,
are you sure you found it in a gas station and not Bargain Hunt?
It was Return Surge.
Oh.
Warehouse find.
Slightly irregular.
Oh, so funny story about soda while I think about it. The other day... Well, okay, I guess I should lead into this by saying my room kind of smells like Mountain Dew.
So it smells like Paladin's car.
This ought to be good.
Well, you're probably thinking too much into it, but, you know, through one means or another, basically being that I'm horribly clumsy sometimes, let's say a can of Mountain Dew left my hand and traveled down about 4 feet and struck the floor and exploded.
Okay.
Carpeted.
What?
Isn't your room carpeted?
It is.
That's fairly impressive.
Well, it's not good carpet. Especially not now. It used to be green, not so much anymore. No, I have no idea why we have green carpet either.
Oh, as a double reference to both spilling things on carpet and the yogurt, guess what's been spilled all over the rug inside the kitchen?
I'm guessing yogurt.
Yes, one of those giant king-size gallon tubs of it.
The whole thing?
Yep. Slipped right out of his hands, and the lid was not on securely.
Oh.
So he put the rug outside for it to air out.
I was going to say hard.
He seemed to think that's going to fix it. Bless his heart.
Okay, so, like, when he put it outside, did he just throw it on the driveway flat, or did he drape it over something?
He draped it over a chair on the patio.
It's going to be interesting when he goes out there tomorrow. It's not going to rain tonight, right?
It's been raining for the past week.
Oh, well, is it raining now?
No.
Okay,
it's been out there for a while.
Oh, well, then maybe it did get rinsed out. I was just going to say, it'll be interesting when he goes to pick it up, and it's encrusted itself to the shape of the back of the chair.
Oh, he wouldn't go outside to pick it up. I'm going to throw it away in the garbage can whenever I get around to it.
Oh. Well, when you said that he thought it would fix it, it implied, you know...
That's a foolish thought, is what it's implied.
I mean, well, no, just, you know, with that statement, it sounds like he expects to go outside and, you know, reclaim the rug at some point.
Oh, that was his thought process. It's just never going to happen, though.
Oh, okay. I forget, did you ever get rid of the piece of awning that fell off your house?
Yeah, that all got replaced.
I know, but you had the piece sitting in the driveway.
Oh, yeah, the piece is gone. The piece is gone.
Okay. Too bad it would have made a good doghouse. Of course, you would have had to get a dog.
Well, there's nothing about, I don't remember how I got rid of that.
Well, surely when the new one was put on, the people who put it on brought, like, a little dumpster.
No, he didn't, and don't call me Shirley.
I feel like we've had this conversation before, Shirley. Maybe that was on another show.
But speaking of shows...
What?
Let's move on.
Oh. I guess it is that time, isn't it?
Possibly, yes.
Yep.
Well, I suppose we can't avoid it. Ken, you know what you have to do.
Ninjas?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I don't think Mickey wants to do ninjas.
Yeah.
I don't, but I will say this is the most passable episode they've had yet.
I liked it. But
you like all the episodes. I hate the episodes. I thought this one was okay.
That's just because this is a Fuka episode where she doesn't get stepped all over.
Well, it's because this is an episode where Red has very little to do with things.
Like I said, it's a Fuka episode where she doesn't get stepped all over.
Well, maybe this will be less painful to go through.
It is an episode where the rest of the cast is ensuring that Red will not steal the episode.
Although, watching this Raw on the live stream, a couple weekends ago, by the way, that's the only way I've watched it so far. I didn't have time to watch the subs today. Watching it, I was sure this was going to be, Takaharu is going to steal Fuka's lesbian girlfriend.
Which one?
Yes.
It doesn't really matter, right?
Things are getting hot.
Anyway, we start the episode off with Fuka heading to school, and so is Nagi on rooftops.
You sure he was there?
The show's never showed
I don't
that.
Remember him being there.
Who's Nagi?
Key Ninja.
Who?
Yellow.
Right. Yes.
There's a yellow ninja? Yellow?
Sometimes.
Well, anyway, Fuka's apparently noticed him enough because she's like, dude, quit that. I do not want these people to find out what I am. Because I like to have a normal life. Which is understandable.
It's an interesting idea.
It's understandable but unrealistic considering who her family is.
Yeah, although... If this was your
family, wouldn't you want to distance yourself from them?
I think it might be more that and less the whole ninja thing, to be completely honest.
Although, she's embarrassed by her family.
Who isn't?
Yes, exactly.
She's a teenager.
Yes,
a high
you're
schooler.
Right. And honestly, you know, to Nagi's credit, he's also a teenager and a high schooler. And if I was a teenager and a high schooler and I could get to school like that, you bet your ass I would. Regardless, elsewhere, the remains of the Yokai Watch is apparently counting down to an alarm. While back at home, Takaharu did not realize that the teenagers actually have to go to school, because I never did.
Well, when you have Down syndrome, you don't have to go to school. Is that too far?
Yes.
Yeah,
maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult people with Down syndrome, but comparing them to Takaharu.
When even I don't laugh, it's too far. Because I'll laugh at some pretty bad shit.
Yeah.
And not even feel bad about it afterwards.
As evidence of
note
the show
yourself,
in general.
Don't insult retarded people. No one finds it funny.
Well, I don't. Let's not make a blanket statement of it.
Just
like,
phrasing.
Remember Jam?
That was not really funny.
Jam Project. They're awesome.
And remember Spastic and how the guy who did Jam got all offended by it?
Oh, God. That was, yeah.
Yep.
That was a thing.
You know, I can't remember what I ate for dinner 2 days ago, but fandom drama stays forever.
It does, doesn't it? So anyway, apparently the Yokai Watch is back, and thus the older Ninjas head out to fight it.
Back at number one on the toy sales list.
Can we have Sasuke back to deal with this?
No.
Oh.
No, I'd take Yosuke back to deal with this.
But regardless,
yeah, maybe he could actually get some screen time this time.
Aka Owl and Momo Ninja fight it, but they wind up.
Ken.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Colors have English names.
Yes, and that's and how they're being subtitles is. That.
And if the subtitles told you to jump off a cliff, would you?
No, but...
Would it get me away from this show?
It's how they're marketed, so... Go with the marketing name.
No, this show would follow you to hell.
I have
already there.
Yeah, I have bad news for you. The show is hell. You're already there.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Hell wouldn't, keep it.
Okay,
so we'd be like a Barre killer.
The red, blue, and pink Rangers.
Well, you don't have to go
that
far.
Hell is full of podcasts. Superhero time will walk the earth.
Use the frog guns.
And tongue the monster to death.
Yes, they do. Which seems oddly easy.
And a little creepy.
Just a little.
Yeah.
But anyhow, somehow the
I kind of want a ribbit gun alarm clock.
Anyhow, the adults decide to play hide and seek for training.
Yeah, that seems like Takaharu's intellectual level.
I think Yakasumi probably realized this. This is why he's the one who's it.
I'm not. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, none of y'all laughed, but.
Oh, no.
He's the one playing hide-and-seek.
Yes. We're not saying Takaharu is not fucking stupid. I'm sorry. Really stupid.
It's appropriate.
Yeah. I don't think you can really describe him any other way. Regardless. So, Fuka and Nagi end up walking home, and two girls from school end up following them against... You know, Fuka's better judgment. And they're like, you know, you just got to shoo them off before they get home. And then, of course, Takaharu is outside counting down to go play hide and seek.
I gotta admit, I didn't think you could count that high.
Well, we don't know where he counted down from.
We don't know how many times he's had to start over either.
Kasumi and Yakumo had a lot of time.
Yeah.
So
if they would just start playing Takaharu like he was Yoko and, you know,
not competent to
handle his own life.
I'm not sure that they aren't. Because remember, even still, Yoko was still good at her job, just nothing else.
The thing is though, like, Go Busters made it really obvious what they were doing and this show isn't.
Yeah.
So
even still, you have the thing of where his entire family knows he is unfit for anything other than fighting, basically.
I know it's out of style for Sentai anymore, but this really needs to be one of those series where one of the other colors is technically the leader.
Well, we just had one of those.
I
don't disagree.
Yeah, all the Tokusers were their own leader in some way.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah.
Wright was the lunch leader.
Mia was the nagging leader.
Sorry, was the actual leader. In this case, sometimes I do think it is, honestly, but regardless. But yeah, as evidenced by the fact that once Fuka sees him, she tries to just like, please go away. Go away. No, don't.
That's how I feel whenever he shows up on screen.
Yeah, now, actually, I feel this entire episode wouldn't have been as good if Takaharu could actually act. Because with the bad acting, it just makes him seem even more. It just makes him seem perfectly awkward.
So
you got a point there. Yes. Actually, that mm-hmm. might be why this works, because he's being played up for being someone you don't want around because he's irritating and embarrassing, and that's kind of what he does.
See, you know, since I can change as it goes along a lot more rapidly than other shows, so maybe they kind of, you know, get an inkling of that.
Maybe this is just a fluke. We'll find out. Hopefully it's not.
Hopefully not. Regardless, I keep saying that a lot today.
You say that a lot every week for the record.
Yeah. It's like how I say so when I'm trying to segue into something.
Shit.
So anyway.
Now I'm actually gonna pay attention to it.
So regardless.
Irregardless.
So regardless.
That is not a freaking word. Do not start that shit with me.
So irregardlessly.
Oh my god!
Unregardless.
That should be the episode title now.
Irregardlessly.
You're regardless.
That's so regardless.
So anyhow, Takaharu, you know, takes it upon himself to not only introduce himself to Fuka's classmates, but dragged him inside, almost literally.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
Well, the way he does it is actually not. He's just like completely clueless as to
he's just trying to be a good host and get his little sister's friends to come in.
Right. Wait.
What?
He wants them to come inside.
That seems a little backwards, actually.
Well, Takaharu.
Oh, right.
It would be backwards if they were coming inside.
We're not talking about tea anymore, are we?
Wait, what?
Right. Anyway, so Fuka is like, please don't be yourself.
Oh, wait, did you say tea? I thought you said pee.
No.
That's what I thought, too.
So, anyway, Fuka drags
Same here.
And it's like, please, whatever you do, do not be yourself, do not be here. Not necessarily in that order.
I wonder how often she has to tell him that.
Probably pretty
every
often.
Day.
And Takahara's response basically is like, oh, you know I can't do that.
She's like, don't talk.
What kind of Looney Tunes bullshit is this?
Yeah, she tells him, like, don't talk about ninja stuff. He's like, well, I can't do that. I'm like, she's like, oh my god, I'm the only real person here.
It's like in Roger Rabbit. When Eddie is telling Roger to not do something, it suddenly becomes the only thing he can do.
Yes! So, yes, yes. Takaharu is a living cartoon character.
Except not as well acted.
Ouch.
Actually, I think I would like him better if he had cartoon rabbit ears. It's like sort of rotoscoped on in every scene.
So
except they wouldn't do it real rotoscoping though. They would just like composite some CG over it, and it'd be, you know, Toei CG and
oh god. Kasumi meanwhile is hiding on the floor literally under a cloak of invisibility, which one of the girls finds as Uncle Dad suddenly comes through the wall, realizes he shouldn't have done that, and promptly goes back because obviously that changes everything. That makes it all better.
If he goes back through the wall, there's deniability.
Yes, leaving Nagi on his own to just awkwardly like, oh yeah, I fell asleep. Right.
Hiding in the middle of the floor is about the dumbest place you could possibly lay down. Let's be invisible in the middle of a walking path. Yeah.
Who would look there? Anyway, the yokai watches back again because they can't help, you know, coming back to destroy Bandai's toy sales yet again. Oh, wait, it is Bandai.
It's still going to destroy Bandai's other toy sales. Because that's what it's doing.
Unless you're in America where they didn't get that license.
How does Bandai not get the license for Bandai's product?
Because it's not Bandai's
Bandai
product.
Bandai has the license for it in Japan. It's level 5.
Yeah, it's level 5
property.
So they have. So Hasbro will be having to make all new stuff here.
The problem for Hasbro is that Yo-Kai Watch will not be anywhere near as popular in the U.S.
Correct.
So they will just have another bomb toy line on their hands.
So they'll have to spend more money.
Oh, but they're getting used to that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Yoko Bosch is back. Takaharu takes it out very easily. And back at the ranch, Yakumo was hiding in the middle of the table. And, well.
He covers the girls with suit.
He does. Suit.
He explodes all over them.
He does. Because he was getting tired of hiding. So finally, Fuka just, shoves her entire family outside. It's like, all of you stay here. Because it's dangerous out there. And we can't have them running off. The monster might get them. So she comes
That's
back
stupid.
Into the room where the monster has gotten them.
That is the most plot contrived bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't go outside. There might be a monster somewhere in the city.
So what? What do you expect?
Yeah. Anyhow.
I expect better. That's what I expect.
Anyhow,
I expect something on the lines of the monster is spotted somewhere on this block. Stay inside.
Right. Yeah, that's a little.
A marginal excuse for why they'd be safer inside rather than just keep them inside for plot reasons.
Not that it matters, because the Yokai Watch captures them and takes them back to the past.
Also, saying that monster was spotted nearby also makes it more plausible that it would just end up inside their house.
Well, time travel is its power, so.
Time travel, not, plot convenience. I guess it is time travel.
Well, it is time travel, yes.
So the ticket says 2005, so they hop on the Dinliner, head back there.
Right, that's actually what happens. So they go back about a decade or so.
Onore, the ninja.
I just want Narutaki to randomly show up in Tokusatsu.
Yeah.
Doesn't even need decade. He's just there.
He just wanders into Garo.
It worked for Gaiman Tokyo's crossover.
Yeah.
He walks through Ultraman.
Yes!
But he's giant.
Fuka and Takaharu have a discussion about, how embarrassed she is about her family.
But then his hat starts flashing and he has to leave because he only has 2 minutes left of his power.
But color timer hat. Oh boy.
All these things we've come up with that are better than the ninja.
So anyway, she realizes there's kidnapped teenagers. This is probably not the best time to vent. And it's like, wait a second, this place looks familiar. Oh wait, it's our house that got blown up in the first episode.
Oh, right.
Because the Yokai Watch has come back here to search for the Inshuriken that is not at their actual current house. Fuka has to re-explain to Takaharu that the monster can travel through time. Now, on the one hand, it could be taken as, well, not everybody watched last week's episode. They need to exposit that somehow. On the other hand, it is completely realistic to me that she would have to re-explain to Takaharu something that he actually did.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree.
Yeah.
So actually, it works both ways.
Your mom works both ways.
Damn. That's pretty good. So they find young Fuka and Takaharu playing hide and seek, where
she finds him instantly by when she says, "Come out and find me."
Basically, yes. So she acts like little Fuka acts like she's scared of big Fuka. But as it turns out, it was just a lure to lure the monster out because they are attracted by fear and so on and so forth.
And little girls, apparently.
Well, actually, for this one, that seems to be the case.
Yeah.
Shit. Fuka remembers that as a little kid, she's, actually wanted to be a ninja. Oh, then she became a teenager. And actually, that's pretty realistic.
She grew up some.
Yeah. That's pretty realistic, actually, because a lot of kids have things they want to be, presidents, and so on and so forth. And
then puberty happens, and they just want to get laid.
Yeah, that's basically the case. Fuka and Takara transform, rescue the girls, and chase Yo-Kai Watch back to the present time, where the others conveniently show up, and they realize that... Well, actually, the others conveniently show up, and then Fuka steals the roll call. By just shoving her brother out of the way.
I like that.
Good
part.
For her.
Yep.
She does it twice. anyway, meanwhile...
I was kind of imagining that's the cast general reaction to him right now. It's like, no, enough of you.
So during the fight, they realize that the digital watch is basically reverting every time they destroy him. So...
And reverting himself back to 7:30, how appropriate.
Yes, yes, I noticed that.
I wonder what the significance of that is.
So they have a clever little bit where they pin him to the wall through various weapons. Yes.
No, wait a second here. Okay. So first of all, I want to comment on how awesome the fire effect is on Pink Ranger's attack.
Oh, yeah.
She's spinning her sword around. That's awesome. But now, this point right here, they crucify this monster.
Yes, they do!
And they fire a spear into his side.
Yeah!
Do they not realize this monster's already good at coming up from the dead? They ain't gonna do shit to him with this attack.
Yep.
Well, no, it is after Easter, though.
It is. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yes, that's my point.
Exactly.
Ken's just walking into them all tonight.
Yogurt straight man.
It's amazing. Like, Fort Max is just totally on the ball this week, and Ken is just, like, falling for everything.
Yeah.
What is even happening with this show?
Freaking clue. So, anyway, Takara and Fuka destroy the monster, and...
Okay, so you've replaced Regardless with So Anyway, I see.
Shit!
After tricking the monster into revealing its weakness.
Yes. Then they destroy it, and this time it's for good until... It's always shows up and makes it grow. So, it's mecha time! Which actually does end up rather entertaining. Because first you have Wanmaru chasing after it, because dog.
Because it finally gets to do something, too.
Yes. So the Shurikenshin Pylon, and they... Well...
Shurikenshin Pylon?
Pylon?
Oh, wow. Well,
I can't...
The one in the ball of dung.
Yes! Right. Elephant mode!
Shurikenshin Dung Beetle.
And Fuka literally throws Takahara out of the chair. And as he's trying to get back up, Yakumo just grabs him by the scruff of his outfit and just pulls him over to the side. He's like, nah, you're over here.
Shurikenshin really needs a Wanmaru mode.
Oh, God. It would do absolutely nothing.
Except for this episode when it would do something.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, you know, it couldn't have, like, a transformed mode, obviously, but, you know, let Wanmaru out on the leash to lead the attack or something. Because Wanmaru doesn't
have
a leash.
I would have liked that.
Remember the combination stock footage.
It does, yes.
Let Wanmaru be important.
Right, so anyway, Elephant Mode destroys it, and as the ninja allies disperse and...
Now, I like how they disperse here, because, yeah, they split off in their own direction, except... That Dump Maru has a passenger.
Yeah! Wanmaru drops into it. Oh, no,
Wanmaru. Wanmaru's off walking.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It's Reds that takes the ride.
Good lord.
Just sits down in the dump truck.
It's not a little attention to detail. But more importantly, they have somebody watching them, which is Star Ninja, who speaks
in his mecha,
entirely in English.
Yes, and he had his mecha hiding.
Yes, in plain sight.
Yes.
I'm not sure I'd really call that hiding.
He's both a cowboy and a better ninja than the ninjas.
Well, he makes his mecha disappear with a guitar solo. So
Better Ninja.
Better Ninja from a cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
Guitars are the most badass weapon you can use.
And jumping ahead to the preview, his mecha cockpit is made of wood.
Yeah, it is. But at the end of the episode, Fuka and Nagi apparently got dates somehow.
They learned how to pick up chicks.
Literally.
Literally, yes. But yes, Yakubo's mother and, more importantly, Star Ninja next week. Or probably more Bison King than Star Ninja himself, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, Star Ninja maybe isn't as important as you think next time.
No, I don't. Looking at the preview, I don't really think he is.
No.
It's more of a Yakumo episode.
I think Star Ninja is going to be a little bit of a Go on Wings intro.
I can roll with that.
So yeah, if there's more like this, maybe I can at least stand the show until something better comes along.
Like Star Ninja?
Guess we'll find out over the next couple of weeks.
But no, it's like I've been saying. The thing about Takaharu is... that sets it apart from Daigo for me, is the fact that his family really does think he's full of shit. And that has not ceased. It's not just vanished into the ether.
His family thinks he's full of shit, but the show does not.
Right.
That's where the problems are.
The show thinks he is the shit.
The show needs to be beating his ass more.
Well, they did that last week.
His family hates him, but he still succeeds at everything he tries to do.
More. Like, you know how the show treats Fuka?
Yeah, they're not going to do that to the Red Ranger.
Not entirely, but they need to just, like, split that. Give him about half of what they're giving her. Like I said, it needs to be like an older Sentai where somebody else is officially the leader.
Oh, certainly.
So that, yeah. Okay, Takaharu kind of has an excuse to just be a goof-off dumbass. Because nobody's giving him responsibility.
Star Ninja comes in and takes charge.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
He's got a hamburger. He obviously has the capacity for leadership.
And I just realized the fact of his mecha being a bison, but he transforms with a hamburger.
Well, bison burger is pretty tasty.
Yeah. Those two things just suddenly hit me. I'm like, oh.
Do I still have some bison in the freezer?
How old is the bison in the freezer?
5 years.
Well, I don't know how old it was when they slaughtered it.
I mean, how long has it been in the freezer? I'm going for at least 3.
Oh, it would have to be. it would have to be.
Wow.
Because that stuff's like $10 a pound now. I would never buy it lately. I mean, come on, I'm not that dumb.
Oh, Jesus, yokai cat.
Watch.
Well, and you know, Yokai Watch's mascot creature character
is a cat.
Cat.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, so.
Big red cat.
Orange. Anyway, I guess that means it's time for a break.
Yay.
Now that we've suffered through ninjas, we'll be right back.
Superhero time. Just watch the shows. It's faster.
Count Dragon and his legion of mutant marauders seek to enslave Earth. Who will save us?
Mask Rider.
The powerful and awesome teenage hero from outer space with his incredible battle cycle, the Combat Chopper. And when he transforms into Masked Rider Super Gold, not even the evil Cyclopter can stand in his way for long. Masked Rider from Bandai.
You've got your sunrise. You caught a prize. You're mating your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites, you, your friends, and your Johnson. Rooster tails, water trails, you, your kids, and your Johnson. Saturday nights, distant lights, you, your girl, and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
before we get started, does anyone want to join me with like a group viewing of the Avengers this week on opening night?
Are you actually going?
No. I'm getting the DVD.
Oh.
Come on. Ray Fiennes, Uma Thurman, Sean Connery.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's a little far
for a DVD.
Yeah.
Well, we can watch it on Skype together.
You can live stream it.
I can just aim the webcam at my TV. Mm-hmm. As long as I get express written consent from Major League Baseball, it'll be fine.
And as long as Ben puts on pants.
I'm not making any promises.
No, he'll just walk around the outside of the house again.
He'll just be in a bear suit.
On that note, it's time for Garo. All that's going in the show, by the way. Because you made the mistake of talking about it after I started the segment recording, so we're just stuck with it now.
That's a good cold opening, honestly.
I can't possibly edit that out.
Have you bragged about your awesome mad editing skills earlier in the podcast?
Right. Well, that's for adding things in, not taking things out.
We'll just add in some DN driver sound effects over the conversation.
I have some.
I like how he just posits that as actual possibility.
It like, is.
I could.
That would be work, though.
Huh?
It would be work, though.
Yeah. I mean, I know where all the stuff is, and it'd just basically be copy and paste.
And paste? Jesus. Take forever.
That's two steps.
Yeah. So anyway, it's time for Garo.
Garo.
Where Mickey will now voice his concerns.
Am I doing Garo again? Can't XV do it?
XV watched it like a week ago and doesn't remember most of it.
Alright. Let's muddle through Garo together then. It'll be fun.
Alright.
By fun, I mean tiresome for our listening audience.
But hey, there's blood time.
There's what now?
Blood time.
What's that?
It's like bullet time, but it's blood.
Alright.
That's basically what it opens with, I mean...
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so, episode title, Flame. I guess there's going to be lots of fire in this episode, right, guys?
Burn. Right?
Or maybe none at all?
Burn.
Well, there is, actually. But, go on.
Okay, so, Ryoga is facing off against the Mega Evolve form of Butterfree. Maybe it's Vivillon. I get them confused.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who...
Check the wing
that.
Pattern.
Now, you think Ryuga, being a Makai Knight, would know better than to splash blood in the direction of a civilian.
Well, she wasn't supposed to be standing there. It's her own fault.
And he just doesn't care.
Now, see, here's the fun fact. If that had hit her, they would have had to kill her.
Well, no. They could have just, like, set up the first season of original Garo again.
Yeah, but she's not a named character.
She's not a named character yet.
No, what you're missing here is that earlier, before this episode started, she refused to give him correct change.
Oh.
So Rion is actually foiling him.
Yes.
Oh.
She's foiling him and wearing no pants at the same time.
So it's like last season of the... Well, okay. I mean, then she was, half wearing no pants.
At least she's symmetrical now.
Yeah, it's less hurtful to my brain.
It's like, why is there only one leg?
Well, they scare away the horror, and Rion's apparently been relegated to being his secretary because she delivers a message to him that Princess Amidala wants to see him right away. So
and
she
yet,
takes him
I,
into
yet
the
I
velvet.
I can't find fault with this description of events.
Yeah. So, here's something we didn't see any of in the previous series, which is the Watch Dogs, because they're all in one city that was not governed by the Mekhi Knights at all.
I suppose those are things that mean something. But to me, they just like masquerade dopants with shittier masks.
No, that's not right.
No. The Watchdog is Princess Amidala.
No, but her attendants are basically just masquerades with shittier masks.
Either that or there's some really kinky stuff going in on in there when we're not looking.
Some eyes wide shut.
It's Garo. It can be both.
Room.
It can be, actually, so yes.
I mean, let's be honest here. It's not as creepy as the Watchdogs from the first series.
Oh, God, no.
No.
That's kind of not possible.
Well, no. I mean, no.
No. So basically, the Watchdogs are who give Mekhi Knights their marching orders, most typically.
And it was very conspicuous that last season there was not any of them at all in any capacity.
You mean in the Enva?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it made
sense. When I say last season in context of this show, I mean last season in context of this show.
Yeah, but it's like, well, it made sense within the context, because they made a point that they were cut off.
This conversation is cyclical.
Well, no, but I mean, like, even in
regardless,
even in flashback, there was not any contact or appearance of a watchdog, like, even in initial order. Like, remember, we even noted it was weird that there was no sign of the greater Mekhi Knight organization.
That's true.
Yes.
Well, anyway, the chick from Big Trouble in Little China is basically going to tell them a cartoon story about how... The two schools of Geki Beast Arts formed two daggers. One was a dagger of justice, the other one was a dagger of being awesome, wearing black armor, and having green lizard sluts hanging on you.
Shit.
The Rin Dagger Akugata?
Yes, thank you. I can't be bothered to remember that.
I remember it because I basically combined Japanese and Spanish and decided it meant evil kitty. Which, considering, is not an inaccurate description of their outfit.
No, it was not.
So anyway, these two dudes' plan was to basically create the sword from He-Man. One evil, one good, and you could put them both together, and then you shove it in the ground like Excalibur. I guess we're just taking wide swaths of mythology, like George Lucas style here.
Yeah.
Well, that
sure.
Honestly, that's not too different from how Garo usually rolls.
Right.
There's this ancient thing which existed, and now it's going to kill everybody.
Yeah.
Because some asshole happened.
So, yes, Laden is the big bad's name, and he was the one that was weakly held in place by one sword.
As you do.
Yes. And so, since that... idiot last episode freed the curse or whatever. Sword split apart and went in opposite directions. Deku got one, the other one went somewhere. So he's free now, but thankfully there's just enough time for them to stop him before he gets his power back. Thank God. I was really worried there for a moment that the series would be over in episode 2. And this is where I start to have questions about where the series is going writing-wise, because they're really kind of ham-fisting this exposition. I'm kind of used to the end, though, where the story was told much more elegantly and with a lot more finesse.
Okay, so what you have to understand here is that basically a series with watchdogs lays everything out for you up to a point. Whereas the had Barai instead of a watchdog, and he was an asshole.
Now, bear that in mind. He says,
I think I preferred Barai, to be honest.
Yes. Here's the thing. Up to a point. Because most typically, you're only getting the surface details.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably something screwed up in there somewhere.
Probably, yes. That doesn't change the fact that this is clumsy exposition. It's poorly written. It does not engage the audience in a nice, clever way. It's unnatural.
Well, there's also the fact that this could be repeated exposition, because this series is also kind of sort of assuming people have seen the movie. It was also that it aired before this, right?
Which we'll get to in a moment.
Yes, we'll get there in a second. But yeah, I didn't consider that this could be being rushed to get people up to speed faster. I didn't think about that.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and considering
I didn't really think about that either. I just was thinking, this is the traditional, here's the setup for the season info dump.
It is worth noting that Ryume, the watchdog here, is in the movie as well, so.
There is also, okay, is it just me? Are we seeing a personality change in Ryoga in the series?
He seems lighter, but I think that has precedence in what, you know, everything, all the shit he went through.
I would think if anything, he would have gotten darker.
No, I think because the way it ended was actually surprisingly hopeful, considering all the shit that happened. and it ended a lot brighter than it started. And I think that Ryuga syncs to me with how I expected him to be, honestly.
This is a Ryuga who's kind of found his groove.
Right. He's not questioning, you know, what he is anymore or anything like that.
I can't argue that it's probably a logical evolution for the character.
It's just not as fun.
Basically, we just had two different expectations of how he could have been after all the crap that happened up to him, including killing his own mother.
Spoiler.
It's, yeah. I just don't think it's as captivating. I think in the end, especially in the early episodes, Ryoga was a character that you're kind of just watching because he was interesting. And here he's just like, hey, I'm the hero. I'm here to do what you say. I'll go kill the bad guys.
I would like to think that as this progresses on, we'll see more of, you know, Ryuga when necessary.
Yeah, I hope so.
I still see glimpses of that, though, I think.
No, but, like, I get what Mickey's saying, and I agree to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
I just also am holding out, like, you know, they'll get to that when it's appropriate to get to that.
Right.
He doesn't need to be that Ryuga right now.
And honestly, and, you know, he's still more personable and interesting to watch than, you know, either Ryga or Crow. Which is not terribly hard. And that's considering I like Ryga, but still.
Well, it's just all, it all boils down to I was expecting to taste Cheeto, and what I'm tasting right now is carrot.
Carrot.
Ryuga still has a screen presence, though, which is good.
So speaking of screen presences.
Yes. Let's
get on to D-Ringo.
Are you sure that's not double D?
No, that's in a minute.
All right, that's the other one.
Yes.
At which point, Ryuga forgets how to act, and we're introduced to a movie character. This is where the series gets almost Sentai-lite. Hey, it's D-Ringo. I love your kebabs. Let's go eat kebabs.
It looks a little Sentai-like, hasn't it? But this entire episode feels a little bit to me like here are things from the movie.
Well, yeah, it's like if you
just watched the movie a couple weeks ago, right?
Here's if you couldn't, if you couldn't make it to the movie, here's the world we're building.
Or if you did, here's the people from the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this episode definitely suffers for that.
Yeah.
And that's really a thing of where we really can't. I mean, we can't.
We're just at a loss, basically. We're not getting the full picture because we can't.
Which is not necessarily the show's fault because it's not really being made for here, so.
Right.
It's an odd situation that we've never really run into in almost anything, actually.
Yeah, we're mostly able to watch the beginning of something.
Yeah, most of the stuff we watch doesn't start with a theatrical movie that we won't see until the series is over with.
Until the next series starts, probably.
Which will be another anime season, I guess.
Well, I'm supposed to have a second season, so that'll probably be in October.
Right.
And who meanwhile, the hell Japanese Chicago.
Japanese Chicago.
What was Paladin's comment?
I just wanted to know who's this emo guy on a rooftop.
Yes, he's hanging out in Japanese Chicago, being fairly awesome and full of style, and more like what I would want to see Ryoga being in this episode.
Maybe he must be Ryuga's Ray.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I feel fairly confident this guy was in Street Fighter 3.
I think you're right.
But his little Zaraba is much more awesome than Zaraba because it's the little witch doctor head with a little fuzzy puff on top, and I love it.
That's certainly a different kind of familiar.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, but that's enough of style. Let's head to the alleys and hang out with the hobo some.
Yes, and he sees the significance of that butterfly that we were talking about last week as well.
Yes, yeah, so and Morticia's power, she sends out memos now to the power of butterflies.
Yes, so which explains why she and Zynga can control horrors, apparently.
Was she controlling them, or is she just sending out messages commanding them? Like, hey, go do this. And they're like, okay.
That's a good point.
A little of both.
Yeah. I suspect we'll see.
See, I got the more effect it was just a horror text messaging system.
I could see that. I mean, the Mekai Knights basically have that with their with the envelopes.
Yeah.
And what are butterflies if not just nature's envelope?
Oh, you know what? You don't... No, you know what? You know what? I got it. So, like, yeah, for the Mekai Knights, they have text messaging with the envelopes. For the horrors, they have Twitter with butterflies.
Butterflies don't tweet.
Maybe not around there.
You know what this episode hasn't had enough of? Hardcore sluts. Let's go to the antique shop. So at D. Ringo's shop, which I guess he inherited from Wizard, and changed out Koyomi for a stripper.
Because damn.
Yeah.
Are those new? I mean, is she new?
I wasn't aware Japan came in that size.
I bet several other things came in that size.
Ho-ho! So, we get lots more of forced half-exposition from the movie. And by half-exposition, I mean, look, I'm holding something. It's meaningful. You got something meaningful, too. Let's not talk about it.
Because it already happened. And you all saw that, right? Right!
Yes, that movie was in continuity. Let's not go over it.
Because you just saw it, and that would waste time. Let's not explain it or anything.
How about those kebabs?
Well, every American viewer is just kind of like screaming internally.
Or anyone in Japan who didn't get to see the movie in the theaters.
Honestly, it almost feels like they're mocking you because it's like.
The American viewers are either screaming internally because they didn't see the movie, or they're like palled in and just fixated on the woman's chest.
Give me both.
I would think one would distract from the other.
You would think, and yet you would be wrong.
Well, let's put it to a vote. Palled in?
Sorry, I was distracted.
There you go.
Well, palled in just can't multitask.
Palled in can't do a lot of things.
Look, Paladin, you got two hands. Just saying.
Alright, so back at the mall. Creepy hobo guy is having impure thoughts about balloons. So apparently now Garo is a French film. meanwhile, back at the antique shop, Ryuga and Rian are explaining the plot again, in case you missed it in the beginning, about the daggers. They theorize since they were opposites, maybe they got blown away from each other.
But that's not how magnets work.
If they were magnets, they'd all hang out together in one big clump until you sold them for $3 a piece.
Right. Exactly.
Or is that just magnet states?
Same thing.
Alright, so D-Ringo pulls out some mystical driftwood or something, I don't know. And... it points them in the right direction through magic.
Tuning fork.
Yeah, it's his magical divination rod points them towards water.
But it's Japan. They're surrounded by water.
Shh.
That's why it's always right.
Shit! Just go in that direction. Are you sure? Yeah, absolutely. I'm never wrong.
Fort Max, did you have a Red Bull this afternoon or something?
No.
You're making nothing but headshots here.
I know, Ben will be cursing at you over Xbox Live any minute.
Alright, so, Ryuga and Rian arrive at the mall. There's a curious bending of time going on from wherever they were to get here, and this guy still hasn't got the dagger yet, even though it's only two floors above him. But whatever.
I'm assuming their antique store's in the same mall.
That would be convenient.
It would be very convenient.
Maybe they just, you know, used the Makai Road and got there quickly.
Okay, so dude is parkouring up Assassin's Creed style to get to the dagger. And we learn a new trick from Ryoga's sheath. Is those little useless little spiky things that popped out can also fly off like a little shuriken, which makes them seem more useful.
Yeah. Hey, you need to just, like, you know, hold that thing up like a rifle.
So the battle has been joined, and people are running and screaming everywhere. And
the fight scenes are pretty epic.
Well, that's a Garo. Much is still good.
I particularly like the slow motion boot cam of Ryoga's boot slowly stroking his chin. Alright, so fight. And oh no, Rian's a hostage. Who could have guessed?
It's one of those episodes.
You stay back, Ryoga. Take one step and I'll kill this woman. Ryoga's like, skip? What was that?
Sorry.
Okay, so that actually was you making noises, not like some spirit invading the Skype call, man.
So, can we move on?
Garo? No, not until you explain yourself.
I don't think I can.
Oh, you're gonna try.
Wanna bet?
Just make up a lie.
You were right, it was ghosts.
You make this so difficult, I mean...
It's just easier to talk shit until it makes sense than trying to say nothing. Be a politician.
If anybody knows about talking shit, it's Paladin.
Alright, so Rian's captive and Ryoga doesn't give a shit. Because he knows that Rian will just blow herself up.
I do like how he's like, okay, I got this. I know what I'll do. Damsel in distress. Wait, what?
Nope. But
what
it was
the hell is wrong with you people?
A charade. Clever play.
I'm a people-eating demon. I don't understand you people.
But apparently her self-destruct spell was just to fire cherry blossoms everywhere.
It was a Roman candle.
It's a very dramatic spell. Also, want to question why the Makai priest would even research.
Mood lighting.
For just this purpose.
It's very important. Alright, but enough of this nonsense. Let's go ahead and morph and kill this monster in one blow. So,
basically Ryuga's back to normal there.
Yeah.
It's just a finishing move again. Okay, sure. We spit the...
Garo gold mode. But, you know, that's not enough. Let's do something awesome on top of that. How about... Let's have Rian shoot the tip of his blade and charge it up with magical bullet shit.
Makai fire. See, he doesn't have a...
Flame.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have a lighter like...
Didn't he have a lighter at the start of the... In the...
Did,
okay,
yes.
But he did, though.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He just never uses it for the same thing that Koga does, which is weaponizing the damn thing.
Right. You have to admit, this is more flashy.
It is!
It is more flashy, and it kills the monster dead.
Yay!
Somehow or another, the dagger is teleported outside, I guess through Sentai magic. Relic didn't land in a pipe farm.
Have they had those in Garo before?
No.
Wait. They will.
They've been doing Garo for almost 10 years. If it was going to happen, it would
have. They have been doing it for 10 years. Minus out four of them where they didn't do it.
That's right. It was 2005, wasn't it?
Yep, it's the 10th anniversary.
Okay.
That's why Decade's in it.
We discussed, we made this joke last week.
Right, I remember.
So Ryuk and Rian look at this dagger sitting ominously in the ground, and the second they don't go and immediately pick it up, you know that some bad shit's about to happen.
I was like, if he doesn't pick it up, who will?
So Ryoga leans down, and he has Zaraba sniff its butt. Zaraba's like, this shit smells powerful. Better not touch it.
Okay, I'm gonna touch it. Ryuga is like, you know, the guy you tell not to press the red button. He's gonna press the red button.
You mean he's Roger Rabbit?
Or Ren. Or Stimpy. I'm not sure which.
No, it's the thing we were talking about earlier, you know.
What if we just cast Takaharo as Ryuga in the series?
What if we cast Ryuga as Takaharu?
The ninja would be a lot better.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like the ninja, but I'll say that. Because,
like, he still wouldn't be a team player, but, you know, it'd be in an awesome fuck you kind of way, not a I'm horribly incompetent, but somehow I'm in charge kind of way.
And Takaharo and Garo would be so weird and out of place that it might be actually entertaining.
Like, I can't see him as anything but being a victim, though.
Rihanna would be the hero, because she would have to be.
I see nothing wrong with this.
Well, no.
No.
So, Ryuga presses the red button, and the episode closes with him being attacked by
something.
Black and red things coming out of the dagger. Letters or chains or, I don't know, something.
Yes.
It looks bad. So, I guess he's doomed.
Probably.
The end.
Because we didn't get the episode preview, because they had to reshoot the entire episode.
What?
Well, I mean, we didn't get an episode preview because they had to reshoot large portions of episode 3.
Really?
Thanks to a guest star being involved in a hit and run.
Really?
Yeah. Yes,
where were you?
You were part of the conversation.
Was I?
Oh my god.
You were here last week.
I know that. I don't remember the, I don't remember.
Apparently you don't. You remember nothing from it at all.
I don't remember that conversation.
In Fort
Max, they're working on Lost Galaxy production schedule for episode 3.
In fact, XB is the one who said Lost Galaxy production schedule, I think.
Yeah.
He was.
I can't tell if XC is messing with us or not right now.
I can't tell if you're messing with me or not right now.
Go back and listen to the recording.
Ew, no. No, I legitimately do not remember this happening.
But yes, the guest star for episode 3 caused a hit, did a hit and run, so the sponsors aren't wanting to promote him, so they're reshooting large portions of episode 3.
Or reshot large portions.
And at a theatrical premiere, well, a theatrical showing, like one-time theatrical showing of the first 3 episodes, it ended up not being the first 3 episodes and being the first 2 and some random later one.
Spoilers. Wow.
So this will be interesting once my download here finishes.
Not that I guess so. I really don't remember that happening last week.
Oh my god.
I'm concerned.
You know, it sucks. I'm always going to want to see the original cut for this episode.
1 minute and 43 seconds to finish that download. That's not bad.
Mickey, how long would it take you?
Probably 10 seconds.
Probably about a minute total from beginning to end.
Okay, so that's not, I wasn't too much further.
Well, because torrents take a minute to spin up. I mean,
yeah.
You don't get your full speed right away.
Right, right.
I have to deal with other people's slow connections first to get attached to them.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
If he was getting it off of Mega or something, it would be probably 10 seconds.
Yeah, I was about 7 megabytes a second at the end. So
nice.
My connection is doing much better now.
Mine
it's like,
too.
It's like a consistent like 65 megabits per second now.
Like, I don't get speed, but I get stability now.
That's good.
Which is probably more important.
Yes. Yes, it is. The sad truth is that, like, we looked into this recently. The only thing we can do with our internet service now is downgrade it.
Yes.
Because, like, we were looking into getting 6 megabit per second. And, no, like, apparently we couldn't even get new 3 megabit service here somehow. You can get UVerse service, which is satellite internet, which is garbage.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But no, apparently we're...
I thought UVerse was fiber.
Not here.
No.
It depends. Is it a city where Google has scared them into it yet?
No.
Then no.
No.
And that's the only way you get
is it even technically a city there, or is it unincorporated?
I actually do live in an unincorporated town, but my mailing address is in the city of Dixon.
Yeah, literally the only way you get fiber at this point is Google says, we're coming to that city, and everybody else runs like chickens with their heads cut off.
Right, and even if Google said that for Nashville, it wouldn't affect here.
Right.
So, yeah.
One thing that was great is when my ISP started up here is how Comcast fought tooth and nail to stop it from happening.
Yeah,
and they lost.
Chattanooga seems like a nice place.
Except for the people, sure.
Well, I mean, live that close to Georgia, and what do you expect? You know, it's like secondhand Georgianess.
Really, problem. There's three problems here: people, pollen, and traffic.
But okay, other than that, the city's great.
Well, like you realize, I have the pollen problem here too.
Well, yeah, but you're not in a valley, though. We are basically a bowl of pollen. Nothing escapes it. It all just sort of falls in on itself. It doesn't blow anywhere else.
I guess, but the cars are still yellow.
And the traffic problem is because the city is basically laid out in a straight line.
And the roads are all zigzags?
No, it's that the rush hour basically is one side of town moving to the other side of town. There's no circle around. It's just a straight path from one end to the other.
Uh-huh.
There's no alternate routes.
Uh-huh. Well, except, like, back streets.
Well, yeah, but you know how Nashville is basically circular?
Yeah.
40, yep. And you're 840, and you're 440. Right. There's different... crisscrossy paths. Chattanooga doesn't have that.
Oh.
There's just one highway, basically.
But other than that... Well, you know, you got fiber internet, you got Bargain Hunt, and a couple Targets.
What and 1,000 Walmarts.
Eh, Walmart.
Yeah, you have enough of them, it broadens your hunting power.
I mean, you know, what has Walmart done for you lately?
Wave 2 Combiner Wars Deluxes.
Yeah, but I got those from Hasbro Toy Shop before they were in the stores.
But I got them in the stores before I could have gotten them from Hasbro Toy Shop, though.
How's that?
Because when I got to Hasbro Toy Shop, it's already moved back to the second shipping date.
Oh, okay.
And I found them before that second shipping date.
You should have been there earlier.
Well, time makes fools of us all.
Ken,
who's farting into the mic?
Not me.
It is you, because when we hear the noise, you're lighting up.
I wasn't doing anything, though.
You were breathing.
Quit breathing.
Presumably.
You really are being me today.
Oh, well, I don't know what the hell happened today. I felt fine before I came on the show.
Yeah, then you started talking to us.
So there's my first mistake. I'm just kidding.
You stupid bastard.
I still want to know what Paladin was doing earlier.
So do I.
Doing his best to ignore us.
I mean, Paladin, the truth can't be as bad as us just, you know, harping on this forever and ever. It's not like the truth of your job was that bad that you needed to hide it for years. In fact, it was so boring I don't even remember what it was.
That's how I feel every morning.
Although, since I can't remember this conversation last week that I apparently contributed heavily to, that may not be proving anything.
So
precisely.
Okay, so, in my own defense...
Fort Max and Mickey are the only ones that was all together tonight, then.
What a state we're in. So, in my defense for last week...
State of Georgia, apparently.
In my defense for last week, I had just gotten a new phone. I was probably playing with that for most of the show and not really paying attention.
That's I was like that with the arm change toys, so...
I remember last week you trying to put Kachidoki back in package and making noise and Mickey yelling at you every 5 minutes. I remember that. Or was that Ken? Somebody was yelling at you, though. I remember that.
It was you.
I would have to yell at you if you didn't make me.
Was that me?
It was you, actually.
Oh. Well, shit. I can't tell the difference between me and Mickey or me and Ken. One of those things is, okay, I guess, and the other is really alarming.
Well, if you're being really awesome, you're being like me. If you're being very plain vanilla yogurt, it's Ken.
The problem with, I expect the vanilla yogurt to taste like vanilla pudding, and it just doesn't. And maybe if it tasted like a Cheeto instead of a carrot.
If you let mashed potatoes made with milk curdle, they become like yogurt potatoes.
What?
Well, you've had like potato skins, right?
I guess. Like the chip or like the appetizer dish?
The appetizer.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's done mixing sour cream with the potatoes, among other things. And, by the time you're done with that, it's tangy like what you're suggesting. Unfortunately, if you just leave potatoes to sit, they don't really do that. They just turn, rancid.
Oh, the villain from Power Rangers in Space.
Yeah, that's the one.
Time for.
Did we used to talk about Power Rangers?
Yeah,
yes,
that was like 8 years ago.
Yes, but then we had an 8-month hiatus.
That didn't really go where you wanted it to, did it?
Not really, I guess.
But does anything here? Really? Truly?
Yeah. When I cause other people pain, certainly.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Paladin, what were you doing?
Oh, that was just my roommate picking up his cat.
Oh, okay.
Why do you hide the most boring stories?
I know!
Because they're boring. So what's the point?
The point is...
The point when you hide them, it makes them sound mysterious and interesting.
Exactly.
Or it at least makes you seem like a really annoying little shit until we make you tell us. One or the other. How many of this conversation am I going to remember next week?
Zero.
Okay, that's what
I perhaps less than zero.
No, but seriously, Paladin, it's not even anything. You might as well just say when we ask the first time.
You could have made it sound awesome, too. You could say, my roommate left his pussy in my room, and he had to come get it out.
Yeah. That's a way to go with it. Or, you could just, made something up completely sensational. Like, that it was your cat or something, I don't know.
Shocking.
Do you have a cat?
Just the one right now.
Does it get along with your roommate's cat?
No, I mean, we just have the one cat here.
Oh. You share custody?
Basically.
I always figured you for a dog person, though.
I always thought fish.
No, that's just his face.
No, that also applies to dogs.
I don't really get it.
Can you not see his display picture? Does a Mac not do that?
Oh, I'm not looking at.
Oh.
No, I was looking at the Agaro. That is kind of fishy, I guess.
Yeah. Enough to make the joke work. Which, is great for the listening audience.
Great podcasting.
Yeah.
Well, you do put up the picture for them sometimes.
Yeah, they've seen it. Or they've at least had the opportunity to.
Or the modified ones.
Those are better anyway.
Well, some of them.
I've been pretty pleased with all of them. Especially the Chiaotzu. That Chiaotzu was really good. Well, anyway, I guess it's going to be our show for this week since we ran out of things to talk about, and there's only so far we can take Harassing Paladin per week.
Hooray.
Maybe next week Star Ninja will make things good. Maybe.
Maybe there'll be less hand-holding in Garo.
Well, they probably didn't have time to reshoot the hand-holding.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Episode of Garo has just like really obvious inelegant cut. Edits. Yeah.
Like you hope it's inelegant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like would that make it make you like it more, you think?
It'd be entertaining. Like, you know, whoever they get basically like, you know, Bulk and Spike.
It will look like the first episode of a Keeper Ranger season 2.
You know, you just have the substitute guest star in the episode, but never directly interacting with any of the main cast.
The first episode of Akiba Ranger Season 2 was so brilliant, and then the rest of the series was so crap.
Like, the first episode of Season 2 should have just been, like, a standalone epilogue thing.
And that's why you're not getting any more.
Well, yeah, Season 2 was kind of bad.
The thing about it is, like, when we were reviewing the individual episodes, it seemed good, but then it's like once you hit the end of those last few episodes and you look back and you're like, what the hell happened?
Basically, it was just nerd reference overload.
Yeah.
I like the second season theme song better, though.
I like their version of the Die Ranger theme.
I like how the second theme song whispers Akiba Ranger to you like it's something naughty. Akiba Ranger.
And yeah, I did like all the Sentai song covers for the endings.
But that first episode where they lie to you in a recap.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's right, brilliant.
That was an episode in the spirit of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And then never again.
All I remember are the little go under eyes on the Die Ranger figure art.
It's too bad there was never a Go-Andro episode of Akiba Ranger.
God.
Because you know Sosuke would have been back for that.
Yes.
Sosuke would have been back for anything, I think.
Yeah.
We need a Go-Andro 10 years after.
Yeah, and in a couple more years it will be.
Yay.
Oh, it'll take a while to get working on it. Get started, damn it.
I bet Gunpei's forehead's even bigger now.
And they'll still be oboeing around in their RV.
Genjiro.
Eating eggs. The wings will have fallen on hard times and moved in there too.
Yeah, the RV backfire a couple times to show how crappy it's gotten.
So this is Go On Drew the sad ending?
Bad end.
Like, it'll open with the bad ending, and then a Sosuke from the past comes through to take Sosuke from the future back to undo it.
And he got there by jumping on a trampoline?
Yes.
No. No. He has a flying speedor.
Oh, okay.
Where they're going, they don't need roads. To justice.
Oh, God. isn't that just Mokalkin? Mock Falcon?
Yes.
Okay, so future Sosuke will take Mock Falcon back in time to undo the lesser future. you know, a farther future Sosuke comes back in Mach Falcon, and
Of course they'll have Lucian General ghosts following along.
Yeah, they need to be there. I mean, they always need to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe they should move into Ginjiro too. Like, you know,
they should have their own.
As time has gone on, they worked out their as time went on, they worked out their differences with the Goangers, and they all live together now. And they've built a bar in the back end of the bus. Ken, you're doing
I'm not breathing.
Move the microphone away from
your ears. He says as he talks.
You really have become Fort Max tonight.
Can I restart today?
I think it's a little late
for
that.
Stop breathing and drink more oil.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, if you would drink the oil, then you know your body would be lubricated and your breath would not make noise as it comes out. Because breath sounds are the result of not having enough lubrication in your nose and mouth.
Sure, that's how it works.
Yeah. Okay, smart guy. What do you do when you have, like, a squeaky door? You put oil on it, and then it's quiet. Same principle applies. Chair 2.
Thank you, that was well-timed.
Super Hero Time. 次回もお楽しみに!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.